know for the talk or the sermon, I get you to get your Bibles out as we begin. But today I'm asking you not to do that. Later on, I'll ask you to do it. But as we begin, I'd ask you not to take it out. You might like to take out the bulletin, the sheet you got as you came in. There's a back page there. You might like to colour in or whatever. Or just look and listen. And let's pray as we come to God's Word today. Dear Father, we thank you that we are here today. Thank you for the joy it is to be together, to celebrate you and celebrate Jani's baptism, to celebrate your goodness, your kindness, your love. And Father, now as you look at Genesis 22, please show us more of your love and the depth of your love. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Genesis, at this point, Abraham is living in peace. Abraham and his wife Sarah have had a son, Isaac, the son of promise. And Abraham has turned back to the Lord. And they're living in a place called Beersheba, which means the place of promise. And sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And the Lord said, take your son, your only son, the one you love, Isaac. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Sacrifice him at the place that I will tell you about. And so early the next morning, Abraham got up. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. And he cut enough wood for the burnt offering. And then they started off for the place the Lord had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up. And he saw the place in the distance which God had told him about. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and then we'll come back to you. And then Abraham put the wood for the burnt offering on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them walked on together. And then Isaac said, my father, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them walked on together. And finally they arrived at the place that the Lord had told them about. And when they got there, Abraham built an altar. He placed the wood on top of the altar. Then he tied up his son. And he placed his son on top of the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand. He grabbed the knife and he went to kill his son. But God called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, said Abraham. And God said, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to the boy. Now I know that you fear God. Now I know that you trust me wholeheartedly. You have not held back from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a bush he saw a ram. It was caught by its horns in the bush. And Abraham went over and grabbed the ram. And then he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And to this day, people say, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And then the angel of the Lord called out to Abraham a second time. He said, I'm taking an oath in my name. I will certainly bless you because of what you have done. You have not held back from me your son, your only son. And so I will certainly bless you. I'll make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky, as many as the grains of sand on the seashore. And your children, they will take over the cities of their enemies. And all the nations will be blessed because of what you have done, because you have obeyed me. Abraham returned to his servants. They set out for Beersheba. They came to Beersheba and stayed there. Beersheba, the place of promise. Now, if you've got your Bibles now, you may like to open to Genesis 22. And here we see Abraham tested. Tested and then passed the test, the Lord provided for him. And whenever you read the Bible, it is always good to ask why. And particularly here, why this test? See, at first it seems crazy, because Abraham and Sarah, they had waited 25 years for this baby. And now God says, kill him. Seems crazy. He's the one of promise. He's the one God said, through Isaac will be your great nation. If he's dead, where's the promise of that going to go? God said also to Abraham, I'm going to give you land. But what use is land if there's no children? God also said, I'm going to bless the whole world through Isaac and the descendants, through him. But again, no Isaac, no blessing to the world. It seems crazy. It looks like God is going against all his promises. And also, did you feel it was wrong as well? Feel it was wrong for God to ask Abraham to kill his son? That's how I felt. Is God for human sacrifice? Seems weird, doesn't it, at first glance? But what seemed crazy and wrong actually turned out to be wonderful and right. That's sometimes how God can work. Sometimes his ways seem crazy. Sometimes his ways sometimes seem wrong. But that's how God works sometimes. And here, this test has happened because it's part of how the Lord worked to further fulfill his promises. Part of God's plan to further fulfill his promises. See, if we've been reading through the book of Genesis, there's a couple of questions here in regard to God's promises. How will Abraham's name be great? See, so far, most of the time, Abraham's name has not been great. He has treated his wife terribly. He's acted out of fear, not faith at all. How will Abraham's name be great? How will God fulfill this promise? Well, here he has. In this story. Now, wonderfully, Abraham's obedience is caught up into God's promises. And now, God's people today owe their existence to the Lord's promises and Abraham. We owe our existence to God's promises and to the obedience of Abraham. We wouldn't be here today without Abraham's obedience some 4,000 years ago? That's one question that this passage answers. Another question is, how will Abraham's family bless the world? How would that happen? Well, this story shows how it's going to happen. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord providing the substitute sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide, providing the substitute sacrifice. That's the main point of the story today. And we're kind of used to substitutes, aren't we? You or your children or grandchildren or those you know might play football or netball. Substitutes on the sideline. Players playing. At the time the coach says, I used to coach soccer. Sometimes had four substitutes on the sideline. They're eager to come on. And at the right time, one person go on, another off. Substitute on, one person off. There's a replacement, isn't there? There's swapping going on. Or if you're a school teacher, I think one of the hardest jobs in the world is to be a substitute teacher. Go into a classroom for the regular teacher. Usually they're given a harder time than the normal teacher. So we're used to substitutes, aren't we? Here, the Lord provided a substitute, first of all, for Abraham. It was a ram caught in the bush by its horns. A literal ram caught there. And also, there was a substitute for, or actually, on the way there, Abraham, he was confident that God would provide. On the way there, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And they walked on together. They get to the place, the altar's built. He's about to kill his son. But Abraham looked up after God called to him. There in the thicket, he saw the ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as the burnt offering instead of his son. There's the substitute, the ram instead of Isaac. A substitute for Abraham, did not have to give his son. And also for Isaac himself. Now, very interestingly, we're not told how Abraham's feeling or Isaac is feeling. You can imagine it's a pretty tense story. But we're not told that. We're just told the plain obedience. But Isaac has a substitute as well. You can imagine his feeling when Abraham took him off the altar and put the ram there instead. And with this picture, this story, we get a picture of how the Lord has provided the substitute sacrifice for you and for me, for us and the whole world. And see, there would one come in the family line of Abraham, the great, 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 many greats, grandson of Abraham, one of those stars in the sky, one of those grains of sand on the seashore. And he would be the Lord's own son. Our second reading this morning described Jesus that way. Jesus is God's own son, the one he loves. And he eventually would die as the substitute. He would live and die as the substitute sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. See, what Abraham was asked to do, God actually did. What God stopped Abraham doing, God actually did. He gave his one and only son. As Romans 8:32 says, he, God, did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. There's a guy, Martin Luther, a fairly famous Christian from the 16th century. There's a story in a magazine, a history magazine, of how he and his wife were reading the Bible one day, reading Genesis 22. They got to the end of the story and Katie, his wife, said, wow, God would never treat his son like that. And then they realized, well, he actually has. God gave his only Son. Jesus is our Jehovah Jireh, our substitute. The Lord has provided him for us. See, God says we've got to be wholehearted for him if we want to be accepted by him. We've got to be perfect if we want to be accepted by him. But the reality is we're not, are we? Selfish, proud, arrogant at times, doing our own thing. That's what the Bible calls sin. None of us live in wholehearted devotion to God. And we're under his judgment because of that, because it's against him, our Creator. But wonderfully, what God requires, God provides. Provided as a substitute. I'll come back to that one. So can you remember the name of the offering that Abraham had to give? A certain kind of offering. Burnt offering. Thank you. It's a burnt offering. Now, in the Bible, a burnt offering is one where the whole offering is burnt up. It totally goes up in smoke. It's a bit like how my barbecues tend to end up. Everything's burnt. Totally gone. And that was the point of the burnt offering. See, God demanded wholehearted obedience, but he realized that people couldn't live like that. So he provided a substitute. The substitute was the animal sacrifice that was totally given up to God. The offerer couldn't do it, but the offerer would lean on the sacrifice, saying, "I am the sacrifice. I am the substitute." And God would then accept them as that offering was totally burnt up. The offerer couldn't be wholehearted, but the substitute sacrifice was. And so God accepted the offerer. Jesus is our substitute burnt offering. See, where we couldn't be wholehearted, Jesus was. He totally gave himself in life and in death. Did it as our substitute. We're not perfect, are we? But Jesus has been for us. And we're to lean on him, keep leaning in on him. And God accepts us on the basis of Jesus, our burnt offering substitute. Now, wonderfully, we've had the baptism today. Johnny's received the sign of being in God's family, the sign of understanding Jesus as a substitute. Now, of course, Johnny, he's there asleep. So my sermons are really exciting, aren't they? And of course, at his age, any child that age cannot understand Jesus as a substitute. And so that promise is made today on his behalf, and we're promised together to help Johnny understand that as he grows. We're committed to that. And we pray that will happen, that Johnny will always know Jesus as his substitute sacrifice. That's our prayer. That's our promise to help together bring him up like that. It's our prayer for all of our children here, for each other, that we keep grasping Jesus as our substitute sacrifice. We've got no hope apart from him. And because he is our substitute sacrifice, God has given him for us. We can trust him in every situation. See, God tested Abraham, and God will test us as his people as well. God sends us places we don't want to go. We wouldn't go by ourselves, but God sends us there, and he's with us in those situations to grow us. And he will provide everything that we need in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide whatever the situation. If you're struggling this morning, remember, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He's there with you. He's there with us in all circumstances. As Romans 8:32, the whole verse says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" See, the Lord did and the Lord will provide. And if you're here this morning and you haven't considered Jesus at all as your substitute, today will be a great day to investigate more about Jesus and what it means to be the substitute sacrifice. Happy to chat afterwards at morning tea or talk to other people that you know here today. And as God's people, we rest in on Jesus. We trust him, we obey him in everything. As we be like the sacrifice, wholehearted, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord did and the Lord will provide. And he'll work through that to further extend his blessing to those around us and to the world. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord did and will provide. To help reinforce that, Stuart's going to sing a song about that.